Welcome to another episode of the Small Chops Podcast, where we are trying to renegotiate the social contract and figure out exactly what got us here in the first place. If you heard my episode last week, spoke a little bit about the tough times creating strong men creating easy times, and easing times creating weak men, and what that meant or what that looked like from the perspective of the generation before us, our generation, and the generation to come. Which one of us are the weak or strong men, and which one of us has the easy or tough times? Always something that surprises you, I'm sure, because of how someone may see their generation as having a little bit easier time or more difficult time than yours, just simply from coming from their point of view, just simply by coming from their points of view, by seeing the things that they found difficult, i.e. maybe navigation or taxi cab calling or finding an apartment. And they said, hey, you know what? Because of this metric, your times are very much easier than the times we had. And that's all there is to that. Speaking of easy times, I wanted to go over a little bit of what we think about when it comes to parenting, hopefully, when some of us have considered controlling methods and what is healthy to not only create a life, but to enculturate that life. I think it's really important to consider how we're going to enculturate a child into either the Western point of view or whatever cultural background you're from. For me, I can only speak from a hybrid point of view. I guess I was in a very African household, but I grew up in the States, so I imagine myself being more Americanized than American, because there were things that didn't fly in my house. There were things I didn't have growing up. There were ways of seeing the world that I wasn't accustomed to, and it wasn't until, you know, stepping out of the house when you're old enough to have a foundation in, you know, whatever your parents steeped you in, to really see that there were other ways of seeing the world. There were other perspectives, and there were other ways of training children to see things. And a couple of things that really got my attention over these last couple of weeks is speaking about control, right? When we have children, we're passing, you know, the buck to the next generation, or we're influencing the next generation to step into control of resources, of the world, of their own autonomy. It's really important that we reflect on the upbringing that these particular people had. It was a really strange video that I saw, and it was a tweet, and the tweet had a video attached to it, and the tweet said, when your kids don't want to eat, this is what you got to do. And it's a little kid, maybe, I couldn't even tell you. It doesn't look like he walks yet, but he's in a high chair. He's got his food in front of him, and he doesn't seem to be interested in the food. He also has his Mickey Mouse right there next to him. And his father, person, whoever is in charge of feeding him at this moment, I'm just going to assume it's his father, because it says when kids don't eat. But this person proceeded to shock the child, to see the child's face, to see the child's to comply as soon as the shock happened was definitely looked like a torture technique. And so that video got me really thinking about torture techniques and how many techniques are used in places like Guantanamo Bay, as well as, you know, a child's room or a household or anyone rearing children. And I'm not a child. Excuse me. I do not have children. I am not a rearer of children, but I can understand how difficult techniques create trauma, I guess, or create an undesired result after adolescence. So a couple of the techniques that I wrote down include the sleep technique. This technique was like sleep deprivation, really. You know, I guess when you're young and your parents don't want to be up all night for whatever reason, and you're tired and you want to take a nap and you don't take a nap, that is something that helps you regulate, helps your circadian rhythm and things like that. I totally understand how important that is for children to have, you know, really, really young children. But this is something where it can be utilized with adults as well, or even teenagers especially. I remember being in grade school and not being the easiest of people to wake up. And that's something where it's not a personality thing. It's not because I went to sleep late. It's just that at the time I wasn't a morning person. And the person that was in charge of waking me up excuse me, the person that chose to wake me up, they were frustrated about it, and it was such like negative energy in the morning time, so much so that a couple of the times that I didn't, you know, comply or hear or get up right away, there was water splashed on me, right? So it was like, again, that shock of compliance, that shock to compliance. And that's something that I don't know if it followed me throughout the rest of my life, but I've definitely been adverse to shocking experiences simply because it takes me to a place where it was always a negative impact. And I can imagine that that follows somebody, especially if it goes untreated or unidentified, you know, if somebody didn't really think about their past enough to relate and say, hey, you know what, this action that happened to me when I was young is manifesting itself in my adult life, such as blah 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 x y and z. Another technique that I know in my upbringing was used is confinement, right? So this is where you are either not allowed to go out with your friends, or you are only allowed to be in certain places. So, you know, riding bikes, you know what I mean? You can only ride bikes in this neighborhood or that neighborhood, or, you know what, I bought you a video game so you can stay in the house because I don't want you outside for whatever reason. So make sure you're utilizing that video game and things like that. So these are all techniques where it's what good is that for somebody to either fear the outside, not be allowed to explore, or have trinkets or games in exchange for the compliance to not value, you know, being free, being outside, being kind of unaccounted for, right? Being able to practice their own autonomy, being able to make those good decisions or bad decisions and learn from them. But it's really important to kind of have that practice. And that is something that's taken away from you when you are a victim of a confinement technique. Sound torture. Oh, man, I can go on forever on this one. Sound torture has really been something that I'm unlearning in therapy. Personally, simply because it's not like noise or there's not particular music that brings up really negative or sorrowful memories, but it's really about the household, right? How do you feel when somebody's talking down on you, right? How do you feel when somebody's talking down on you, or somebody is yelling at you for whatever you did, or somebody is not talking to you at all. Somebody's giving you the silent treatment. Somebody's refusing to answer any of your questions or to comply with any of your requests. Or they're going on and on about their shortcomings. There's so many ways to manipulate somebody through sound. And it's very dangerous. I think sound is one of those things that you can't turn it off, right? You can close your eyes, even though your eyes aren't really closed, but you really can't shut off your ears. And when it comes to children, and even if you're out of the way, even if you're not in the same room or you're not around that same person, just that person going off around themselves, you know, just yelling or just creating disharmony is another torture technique that I'm sure has not been identified and mitigated. And I think we are the generation to do that. I got two more, and they're pretty simple. One is stress positions. I remember it's almost like calisthenics. You know what I'm saying? There are some parents who told their kids to do jumping jacks until they fell out because they did X, Y, and Z, or parents that had their kids like stand in the corner, put their hands in the sky, and just have them there for hours on end, or things like that. There's just ways of corporal punishment. There's just ways of ineffectively punishing that doesn't breed a better mindset. You know, it's just it. I think in my mind, it breeds how to avoid that punishment again, you know, by becoming more conniving, being a little bit less trusting, being a little bit more, just a little bit less agreeable with the world, I think, or with what's going on with you and your experience. The last one I would say is food technique, and that's going back to the video. And the food technique would be anything from, yo, you're not leaving this table until you finish your food. You're not leaving that piece of such and such on the plate, or make sure you don't eat that before you eat that. Or, yo, I remember this happened to me for sure. It was, you know, if you have a plate of whatever it is, let's say steak, greens, and potatoes. And let's say you just love potatoes, right? Let's say potatoes are your thing. And so you start with your greens. You're going to eat your greens and you're going to eat your steak. And then you're going to save your potatoes for last. Even if they're cold, you're still going to enjoy them so very much. And having finished your meat, having finished your greens, you finally start digging into your potatoes only to have somebody come and take some of your potatoes or have somebody you put something in your potatoes, you know, or share you having to share your potatoes because somebody else that's eating has finished their food really quickly. And now you have to share your food because you were savoring the last thing. And these are all torture techniques. And these are things that either create a feeling of like unfairness. You know what I mean? Create a feeling of, wow, I really have to get mine before somebody else gets it, or I'm not going to share mine. I'm going to really hoard mine instead of just being able to enjoy and share. So these are all techniques that I thought are considered torture techniques, but I can see very much examples of them in kind of parenthood, simply because we are trying to control very, very difficult to control people as easily as possible. I think the control thing really isn't all that bad. I think that guidance denotes a certain level of control, but when you are manipulating a person and you're trying to do it the easiest way possible, the most efficient way possible, I think that's where issues can arise, because you don't know what kind of personality you are breeding, right?